Hey, this is Tommy Dreamer. Shut up.
You're
listening to Shoot the Shit podcast.
Enjoy
What's going on?
Snake fucking Gage. I represent the Murder That Kill gang. You're watching Shooting the Shit. And if you're not watching Shooting the Shit, I'm probably in your house robbing you. So watch that shit or I'll rob your motherfucking house. MDK all fucking day.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network. Found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Right, shooters, light your cigars, get your cups of coffee, do what you need to do to wake yourself up, because this is
Gatorade.
Episode 111. Jesus, Bobby Boucher.
That's about right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Joey down there is just drinking right, straight right pickle juice.
Hell yeah.
Guys, you may or may not have noticed there is a new person on the video stream with us today. We are going to get into who he is, where he's from, where you can see him, where you can see us, coming up soon. Dennis.
This is our Make-A-Wish episode. Yeah.
God
Okay. Wait, so y'all remember how I used to have my little...
I've been on that shit all day.
So y'all know how I used to have my little... y'all know how I used to have my little comment like, before I'd roll the opening credit? I'm gonna rename it the dad joke of the week. And here we go. My dad joke of the week.
Here we go.
What is the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?
What?
A hippo is really heavy and a Zippo is a little lighter.
I need control back. Run the video. Want to try some shooting shit? You want to try some shooting shit? We've got somebody on here that's shooting some shit. Silver Wolf, introduce our guest for us, please.
Shooters, I want you guys to meet Josh Glenn. He is the owner and proprietor of Copeland's Bar and Grill and the gentleman that's nice enough to host us to do our live podcast at his restaurant and bar. On November 25th, we will be doing a live podcast covering Survivor Series. And we asked Josh to be with us tonight. He's a lifelong wrestling fan. And we just struck up a conversation one day. And the next thing you know, he just started, he was hiding it. He was trying hard, but that's a wrestling fan right there. So this is going to be a good time.
I had to give it a litmus test to make sure, is it okay for me to actually have a full-blown conversation about it?
I mean, wrestling fans come in one of two shapes, right? You've got the people who've been watching.
A litmus test means he means it's okay for him to talk about it to other people. I just want to let you know what he was saying. Go ahead, Joe.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, we don't tell much people about you, Dennis. We really. But anyway, you get the people who have either watched for years. Or the ones who are getting back into it. Or then you have just like the real crazy hardcore fans that can talk to you like about a good 2 hours on why Mick Foley coming out three separate times during the Royal Rumble is the best thing to ever happen in pro wrestling. But it's a mix, man. We're all in there.
Yeah, and just kind of following that, you know, that's what brought us together here is our love for wrestling. That is what the basis of the show is, the basis of all these friendships are and stuff.
And that most of us wear deodorant, so we're in that group too.
Wear deodorant, you stinky fox.
God, I fucking hate wrestling.
God. This is how bad it is. I live in Detroit. There was a con they had, a little anime con or whatever. I swear to God, the Detroit Reddit was tearing up everybody they said that must be wrestling slash comic book fans, because the amount of stench that was in that hotel was coming to the streets of Detroit, and they felt like Detroit had gone back 10 years in the past, because we're trying to clean up downtown.
Come on,
not the way it smelled that weekend.
Detroit's used to weed smell and patchouli, man. They know that's a smell, right?
That was not weed smell. That was straight. My ass hasn't been washed for 3 weeks. This is the first time I've been out of my mom's garage. The sunlight, it burns kind of smell, my friend. It was something unique.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So, Javon, what are we talking about tonight?
We've got a couple of good topics, man. Of course, like Sean said, we will be live doing our show at Copeland's Bar and Grill on the 25th, which is going to be Survivor Series. So we're going to hit on that a little bit. But the main question kind of is going to be a supporting question from what we had last week. Because as you all know, if you listen, Joey K killed the Indies for killing the business. We're going to get into that a little bit more today.
I think that's saying that he killed
deader than Benoit's.
He was being nice.
Yeah, dude. It's deader than Benoit's family. It's dead.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's normally my shtick.
Yeah, that's just that's gimmick infringement.
I know. It's not as dead as the Texas tornado. No.
Should I send them on air?
I'm just waiting.
Which would get me in more trouble?
I don't know. Are we trying to see who's going to be the one that breaks Josh already?
No, dude. We'll worry about getting canceled when we have way more fans, bro. It's cool.
That's right.
Yeah, people have to listen to us to want to cancel us first. So that's one thing.
How much hate mail did you get for the Indies killed wrestling?
You are going to be shocked by this. I got none.
Wow. Maybe a lot of people.
I thought it was California across the board.
Huh?
I mean,
hey,
was I wrong? You could say yes all day long, but I made some valid fucking points.
Yes, you did.
The funny thing was, the next text I got from Josh was, great show, and Joey's absolutely right.
There you go.
100%. I'll be honest, I didn't even really think about it when I posted the question in the first place. It didn't even occur to me when you said that. I was like, shit, he's right. And then taking him to task for the one-winged angel thing.
Yeah.
You can see his mind slowly melt on that.
Give you machine my dick.
Hey, you got me that night. You got me.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you still.
Yeah, I did.
It still stings a little.
I thought the blow up doll was pretty cool, personally.
Thank you. That blow up doll's a legend. So yeah, gentlemen, what killed the business? We're gonna get into it a little bit deeper. A little bit. See if you could pinpoint, you know, exactly when it happened. I know last time we talked this discussion, I placed it on the books. Joey went with the indie scene, but when did it happen? If you talk to a lot of WWE fans, it happened after the Attitude Era. The Ruthless Aggression and on has been unwatchable to them. So it's just a matter of your taste. What happened to the business?
I'll tell you this. My one thing, and I've said this, I may have said this on the show. I know I've said this in discussions with Sean when we would sit and talk about wrestling and stuff. But the first thing that I always thought about, like when kind of the business started changing, or the, you know, it's kind of went into its downfall or its tailspin, was when the WWE went public. To me, I've always felt like that was probably when WWE kind of started its decline and everything. Because it was no longer, you know, about putting out the content and putting on the best show for the fans. They were just out there. They had to start pleasing their shareholders, the stockholders and everything. And that's kind of when it changed for me, is because it no longer was about making the fans happy. It was making about the people that are investing in their company money and making them happy. And to me, that was my take. And that is still my take. I've got a couple other things, but I'll discuss later. So.
Damn good take.
I think that's a good point, because I think if you talk about WCW, what killed them was Turner Broadcasting. And
no, it wasn't Turner.
Yeah, Time Warner coming in and taking over. You know, I think that killed WCW. So I agree with that take, actually.
Because when you think about it, when you think about that, Eric Bischoff was set to buy WCW like right before Vince did, but the only reason why it didn't happen is because they didn't have TV. And just imagine if they had TV, how different they could have been.
TNA.
Fair enough.
I put a little bit of it on CM Punk and his pipe bomb.
Oh,
I think while it's probably one of the more happily revered moments back in the day and all that kind of thing, he set a certain parameter and a certain tone there that wasn't there before. There's breaking kayfabe, and then he just kicked the goddamn fourth wall wide open, and I think it created a divide over what the expectation of the show was going to be or what those outcomes were going to be. Kind of, it flew in the face of tradition. Really, it was almost up there with the Madison Square Garden hug, you know. Even if it was scripted,
the curtain call, that was
actually
a good one.
I've never actually thought of that, but that's actually,
I didn't either. I like that a lot.
A damn good angle. Jody,
fucking Punk killed the business.
See.
There's a lot of people that say that too, but for other reasons. But I think that's a good one.
You've been on for about a fucking cup of coffee, and you're about to get kicked off already.
Oh yeah, he's a good...
Well, fuck.
He's okay. Very sensitive about Punk, but yeah, very sensitive.
I thought he lived in Chicago.
I'm a little sensitive,
dude. I didn't know he was there. I didn't know there was a bigger Punk fan than me until I started doing this podcast. All right, handsome, what do you got?
How does CM Punk's ass taste? Go ahead, Joey.
I got a few dates for you guys.
Oh,
okay, here we go, Joey. I'm scared. Joey did.
He did research. Holy crap!
It's the receipts.
May 19th, 1990, when I realized that Sting was taller than RoboCop, and fucked me up. Oh, wow. I don't have like a lot of fucking turning.
By the way, Joe,
here.
Josh is like 6'7", just so you know. He's like 6'7". He's taller than the rest of them.
I think you broke you. Dennis. Dennis is dying over there.
All right, brother, come on. Bring it.
April 26, 2000, when David Arquette became the WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Ooh, that, yep.
Anything on a pole.
I love that movie, though.
That's a fun movie.
Ready to run, man.
You know, that really fucked everything up. I mean, I know he got like the finger poke of doom. Like, you know, you got a lot of bullshit.
Vince Russo becoming WCW champion.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things, but even more so than that, the last item is March 26, 2001. And this is when it really died, because that is when WWE purchased WCW from AOL Time Warner. And everything has been different since. Good, bad, or indifferent. Whatever. That's when it pretty much died. When it was decided that in the US a monopoly was going to be created. And You can be a fucking AEW fanboy. I don't give a shit. It's deadly number two and might as well be number three in the U.S. right now. I'll fucking watch a GCW show before I watch AEW at this point because it's a lot of horse shit happening there. There was a monopoly created and all the content you had to get from 2001 until what, 2019?
Yeah, it's when AEW started.
Yeah. You had 18 years of a singular U.S. product. You know, of course, we had Ring of Honor, we had TNA, things like that. But they were, you know, obviously, you know, they're not on the level of what WWF into WWE was becoming and is now.
And you had the tape trade to watch NJPW.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's still the tape trading days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's when it died. That's when it was killed. Because now you see the emergence. Because of that monopoly, you see the changes of Ring of Honor. You see things like CZW coming out. You see things like, you know, GCW ends up, you know, out there. You have so many, like, of these indie shows, PGW, you know.
Or Wrestling Revolver.
PWG, sorry.
Wrestling Revolver.
Yeah, like you have all these. And this goes right back to the fucking indies. We get this version of the indies that I bitched about so much last week because of that. It all goes back to that date. That's when everything fucking changed. And here we are, just sitting the horse shit. Like, I have to care about this fucking Full Gear show on Saturday night. I didn't even know it was on Saturday night until last night. And that's when I was skipping through the channels because I was like, oh, shit, yeah, Dynamite, whatever. Sixers are playing. Fuck you. I mean,
well, the wrestling marketing companies hit me up for $300 for the Full Gear show. And I was like, am I going to pay that for AEW? I don't know. I don't know.
There's like the litmus test. Like, are you going to get any interest in an AEW show? You know, you'll get interest in WWE. Hands down. And I think that just because it's what people know.
Right.
You know, but man, that's steep for an AEW show that you might get a couple fucking neckbeards in there stinking at your bar. I don't know.
Right, which is fine. I mean, hey, if you want to be regulars and enjoy what we're doing, that's cool. But like you say, the return on investment's the challenge because it's like, okay, I've got, you know, in the one space that's being counted, I've got, you know, probably 15 TVs or something. And who knows how many people are going to actually physically show up to do that. And I would imagine seeing more readily a father and son or something like that showing up to watch a WWE pay-per-view, like a Survivor Series or something, especially taking place in Chicago and all that, versus some random AEW thing where I know maybe enough guys count on one hand that are local that would go, yeah, I'll probably try to make that.
Yeah. I just don't think you're going to see it. And the product they're putting out, all based on this indie talent, like, you're not going to see it come back. I mean, put it like this. You got a fucking owner in them who's putting an announcement. We signed the best wrestler in the world, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're out here on Twitter announcing, like, a major signing instead of having them show up as a surprise in the show. Because wasn't there a long period of time where that's just what we were accustomed to? Yeah, it's like nobody's ending the pay-per-view because when the lights go out, like, I want to see who's coming up. You know,
I think they always say too, like the biggest pop in all of all time was basically when Triple H had come back from quad surgery and nobody knew it was coming. And it was just absolutely deafening going in there because nobody knew it was coming.
Yeah. Exactly. The biggest returns are the ones people don't expect.
Yep.
You see, Cena at the Rumble.
That was a great return though, man. I remember when he returned at the Garden and that was, I remember that. That was huge.
And Jovan mentioning Cena showing up at the Rumble when nobody expected it. That got a monster pop too.
Yeah.
Because again, nobody expected it.
It's always the ones that the dirt sheets don't pick up on is the ones that hit the best.
Yeah. Like All Out. Like, everybody kind of expected a debut of somebody, but we didn't know we were going to get Adam Cole and then Bryan Danielson.
Oh, such a good night.
Yeah. And yeah, and Sean and I were sitting in a suite together watching that one. And I believe, Jovan, you were down on the floor for that, right?
Second row, I could have spit on Adam Cole if I wanted to. I was that close.
Lube him up, bud.
I would, man. I would. Such a small bastard. I'd probably get him in one shot. Anyway.
A little Adam Cole butt plug. There you go.
Boom.
Baby. Boom.
You don't want it. No, you don't want it to go boom.
You don't want it to go boom. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Well, actually, when I was given thinking about this, and actually my first, you know, I went to a couple of the places that Dennis went with, like, you know, the Ruthless Aggression era, them going public, that. And then I kind of bounced around with, like, you know, the finger poke of doom and all that shit. And then I had thought going into this that my answer was going to be the Monday Night Wars and that ending, because once that ended, then everything changed. But I actually am going to go back farther. I'm going to go back to 1982. I don't know when the date was or what month it was or what day it was, but the day that Vince McMahon bought the W.
Oh.
What's that?
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
No, I wasn't talking about you, buddy. That was the day that Vince, or the month or year that Vince McMahon bought the WWF and laid the groundwork for everything that's happened since then. Because up to that point, man, we had regional territories and the NWA was a nationwide. Outside of New York, it was just the NWA.
Yes.
You know, in that area. So you had, you know, in all realness, a real world champion in Ric Flair or Harley Race or Dusty Rhodes or whoever was carrying the belt at that time. Mm-hmm. And then they ran through every territory across the country. And then what Vince did was made his mind up. You know, he started to monopolize it then, man. He was buying Boardwalk and Park Place, and then he hit up Baltic Avenue for fucking Honky Tonk Man and Kurt Hennig and a couple of other guys, and started building a roster that he could just keep feeding his big star, which was Hogan. And that changed it all. That
go directly to everything. Jail with Marty Jannetty.
But then I would also make the argument there, though, Sean, that you know, at the time, he was going on to what was then on TV or Jones Inner Cable until it inevitably became Comcast and all these other things. But he was the one that was putting it on that platform and putting that many people in front of it, regardless of what territory you would originally come from, which I think was easier to do when you had two-dimensional characters like Hillbilly Jim or whatever to go ahead and say, okay, that's my kind of guy because he represents my corner section of the people or whatever it is. Whereas they probably wouldn't have gotten that exposure otherwise. CBS never would have bothered to mess with the WCW or one of those.
And, you know,
and I agree with that.
The thing too, the whole idea of closed circuit TV for WrestleMania, like he put their biggest show, their big primetime major show in the same category as fucking Frazier Ali.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, this is a closed circuit TV event. Do I feel like this is a fight? This is like a boxing match. Like, he put it on that level, so people bought into it right away.
Yeah. And that's the hard thing. But, right? I mean, it comes to the point to where, in my opinion, I'm with Sean. What killed the business was McMahon. You may have created the business, you may have made it the juggernaut that it was, but the actual love of the craft, the heart of the craft, what it was killed the day that you made it wrestling into this big monster, into wrestling. Yeah. When you made it sports entertainment.
Well, it changed, man. It went. Yeah.
That's what killed the business. The business of pro wrestling died when they started becoming sports entertainers.
And I would say the internet killed it.
Oh God, that's true too.
Because I remember reading
it's killing it now.
I remember reading JR's barbecue fucking rag or whatever that was called back in the day.
Yep, yep.
And that was really just about the only quasi legitimate way to get any information about what was up and coming, because it was always three misleading things in there and then that one thing that was going to pop, you know, which kind of kept you wrapped up and involved. But then as the wrestling and the rag sheets started going harder and cell phones becoming more prevalent, that kind of thing. I think that contributed to a large portion of the downfall, because there's no mysticism anymore. There's no suspension of disbelief, because you already read the fact that Brock Lesnar walked in the door, you know, 4 hours before or whatever on that pay-per-view when he's not supposed to be there, et cetera, et cetera. You know, whoever it is.
Yeah. Well, that was a topic a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Go ahead, bud. And one of the other things, kind of a play off Josh Todd saying that the internet, I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to say right now the biggest problem with pro wrestling is social media.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I always like to talk about the good things about social media. Again, kind of going back to the wrestling thing, we don't have social media, we're not doing the show right now. You know, we're all not friends. We probably, our paths never cross. So that's the good side about social media. But you got everybody out there who thinks
social media,
they think they know it all. Twitter, well, excuse me, X is the worst, I think.
That, because it's been a fairly common knowledge place that Twitter/X is where humanity goes to die.
Yeah, so, because everybody thinks they know what's going on and stuff. And then you mentioned like the dirt sheets and stuff, and all these people that think they know what's going on and stuff. And it's just like, the best things for me, like we talked about the returns of, like, you know, John Cena at the Rumble and stuff. Nobody knew that was coming. And to me, I still love the fact when I am genuinely surprised about when something happens. Like, I didn't read about it on, you know, wrestling website. I didn't hear about it on the dirt sheets or on, you know, X or whatever. Like, oh my God, I never even saw that coming and stuff. And I mean, it's so hard to get that moment nowadays. But when you do get it, it's just a little extra sweet. But to me, like I said, just social media and just the dirt sheets and stuff. Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem with the wrestling business today.
So I'll do you one better. First, DDJ, I'm glad to know that you don't like to know when they're coming. That's always a fucking plus for you. Me, I'm on the opposite. I love to know. Vocalize with me. Number two, I'm going to take it even further than all of you, from the internet and social media to, how about, let's just say the worst thing is the drizzling shits of humans that are pro wrestling fans, because they are. They're fucking terrible. Complain and complain and stink.
You realize these are the guys that are watching our show, right?
Keep talking. They're never satisfied. It's okay.
I like to believe that the people listening to our show, all six of you, get up every day, fucking wash your nuts, get yourself fresh, and head out the door like a fucking champ.
Oh, geez.
So their team, I don't want to smell like shit today. So good for them.
Well, I think the reason why I feel like it was that is because, I mean, if you think about the history of it, and that's kind of always been Vince's little wink, you know what I mean? Well, I ruined your business, your career, your livelihood, but hey, come on over here and I'll put you in the Hall of Fame.
You know what it feels like?
That kind of backhanded kind of deal where, like, you've been cleaning the house. Here's an extra $50 for Christmas. We're glad you came. You know, the floor looks great.
Here's your NDA. But I mean,
Tyler, got great. Thanks for helping me drag that dead hooker out the back door.
Yeah, thank you so much, dude.
Go get your photo with Snook on the way out.
Yeah, McMahon killed the business and also may allegedly have helped cover up a murder. I don't know.
That's what it takes. Hey, Sean, we don't support spitting on this show.
Good thing you got kicked out of the house into the garage, bud.
Oh, shut the fuck
up. Animal.
Damn, why are we friends, man? What the fuck?
But if this proves anything, gentlemen, we've got five different people that pulled up five different times of when legitimately you could say this business was killed, which leads me to believe that this is an old school Japanese death by a thousand cuts. Yeah, every single thing that's gone wrong is a cut, a cut, a cut, a cut, a cut. Mm-hmm. And you're bleeding out to the point to where no one's going to be left watching. there was a resurgence of wrestling fans come up because of wrestling fans, I think, at our core were anti-establishment. So you get a good big anti-establishment faction come in, you're going to rape people in who was in that D Generation X era. Happened with the Bullet Club. That was our second resurgence. Then you've got something coming in like AEW. First 2 years of AEW, raked in some more people. But yeah, then you start to realize it doesn't matter what alternatives or what else is going on in the business. Sometimes the business is just shit. And yeah, when you take those rose-covered glasses off, you're just like, ugh, this is why I stopped watching. But
I'll be honest, what pulled me back in, I've watched pretty aggressively and pretty regularly, you know, my entire adult life. But I will say, with YouTube taking off the way that it did, let's call it 7 to 10 years ago, that introduction, especially for a pretty well-established fan like myself, to the English promotions and the way that they work and the German promotions and things like that, I think there's something to be said for that, because I think as much as the business has been exposed, you now have access to a far larger talent pool and idea story sets, all those different things. So I wonder, did that really hurt the business, or is that just like you said, where it's another one of those, you know, the world's kind of where we go in those cycles of like, okay, it's been 10 years now, wrestling's going to be shit for the next 10 years, or, you know, whatever the case, right, whatever number you want to insert there.
And it really is. It's something new pops up, that's when you get the fandom back, right?
Yeah.
I have a feeling, you know, we're all big GCW fans. If deathmatch wrestling actually took off the way it should, because it's at its purest form, what wrestling used to be.
Yeah.
Storylines are great, and damn it to hell, you can't tell me that shit doesn't look more real than what we get every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, well, I'm surprised.
My only problem with the go ahead, man. I'll jump in when you're done.
Go ahead,
my only problem with the whole GCW thing is that, you know, how far is too far? You know what I mean? We're going to keep going. We got to keep raising the bar. We got to keep doing this. How long is it going to be for somebody actually, you know, gets killed live on TV?
Darby Allin.
A botched move Darby Allin. Or, you know, a glass tube accidentally getting rammed in somebody's carotid artery and they bleed out in the ring.
You know,
I mean, these kind of things are very possible.
Well, it's a very dangerous. Gage and died also, after the Invitationals, came back and wanted to still go.
Well, yeah, but it's Gage, bro. He's got less brain cells than most guys that are in the business because, Jesus, how many concussions and shit has that motherfucker had?
Well, but I guess that means I'm adding the Nick Gage intro to our show when I put the show together.
There you go. Also, dude, there is no right now. I mean, we could talk about the top stars, and, you know, like we could talk about your Kenny Omegas and your Daniel Bryans and your CM Punks and your Roman Reigns and all these guys, but there is nobody on the level of a Ric Flair in his era, a Dusty Rhodes in his era, a Hulk Hogan during the golden era, Rock and Austin during Andre. There's no one, even since the Undertaker retired. And if we're being honest, probably the last 3 or 4 years since the Undertaker retired, you know, before that, when he started, you know, he should have stepped away. You know, he was still trying to work, but he stepped away. There is no one marquee guy that when you see that card, you go, oh, I have to go. I think Triple H said it in an interview, like, there you have top guys and then you have the marquee guy. You know, Triple H is going to be wrestling. Oh, yeah, who's he wrestling? Oh, okay. The Rock's wrestling. Oh, well, I'm going. Didn't matter who The Rock was working with. You wanted to see The Rock. It didn't matter who Austin was working with. You wanted to see Austin. And there's no – I mean, you have Willow Spray and Omega and these guys now that are considered top-tier talent. But they're not – even Cena at his height was not what Austin or Rock was or what Hogan was. I mean, yeah, he was the top guy, but he wasn't –
He wasn't bigger than the
above.
Brand.
Yeah, he wasn't bigger than the show. He wasn't the guy that everybody went.
He was New Japan fans. He wasn't. And my friends, please don't kill me. But Jesus, Sean hit it. There hasn't been somebody that hasn't been bigger than their own individual show in a very long time. And I thought about New Japan and, of course, Kazuchika Okada. Okada's such a big deal in Japan, but he comes over here, and the casual AEW fan who doesn't know who the Rainmaker is doesn't get what he's doing is so great. And that's because he didn't transcend past New Japan.
The problem with those guys, the New Japan guys, I'm just talking about them, is they have these phenomenal careers over there. And then we get bits and pieces of them here in the States. But by the time they finally cross the ocean, they're at the tail end of their careers, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we're not actually seeing these guys
in their prime.
You know, it's the difference between seeing in their prime. We're not seeing these guys like Dusty in Florida compared to Dusty in the WWE, not the same guy. You know what I mean? Seeing Austin as Stone. Yeah, he was just common man.
So is Austin that what's killing, is that part of what's killing the business then, Sean? Yeah. Is part of what's killing the business?
I think so.
You can't build this larger than the show themselves person or group or whatever. And again, to your point, I think Bullet Club was probably the last time that where they were more of the spectacle than the spectacle itself.
When they had the
business killed the business. Thanks, Josh. Fuck. All right, we're done. Thanks for watching, folks.
It's a wrap.
But I mean,
my logic, like,
that's true.
Following the bouncing ball, man.
Let's take another guy whose career we pretty much almost killed a few weeks back.
Big Show.
We killed that one.
I applaud you, Joe.
Somebody who could actually
spot on.
Joey shit on it, dried it off, and did it again.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
The only thing you should have mentioned with this whole take with the I jumped in there all hot and heavy. Big Boss Man, there it is.
Dad
funeral. That was fantastic shit.
When he dove on the casket, was getting dragged around the
Driving the Blues Brothers car.
Blues Brothers mobile taking his spirit home for a last ride.
But let's take a guy, for instance, like Bray Wyatt, who we all, I think, agree had so much upside, but never quite reached that potential. You only got to see glimpses of it. And that wasn't Bray.
No.
That was the people behind the scenes saying, we got to twist your character up, or we got to do this and change it. Or, you know, we don't want you getting stale. The thing about what made Mark Callis, the Undertaker, great was they gave him a shitty gimmick and he made it work. And not only did he make it work, he made it work for 30 fucking years, to the point where if you go back and watch, there were little changes, you know, costume, wardrobe, hair.
American Badass.
Goatee, beard, American Badass, all that shit. Nobody told him what to do because he was such a top star. They just kind of went, Mark, what do you want to do? And Mark went, I think I want to ride a Harley to the ring and just be me for a little bit. And everybody bought it. I mean, a lot of people didn't like it as much as his you know, the original Undertaker character. But he had the ability to grow that. And I feel like Bray Wyatt falls in that category that he could have been that guy.
Yeah.
When he walked out with that lantern, man, and the place got dark and there were lights
everybody
all
had
over
their
that arena.
On. Yep.
I remember being in the crowd when that happened the very first time. And then the first thought that came to my mind is, man, I feel like the Undertaker's walking through the ring. Because he had that kind of charisma and aura about him. And then they started fucking with his character and making changes. Mm-hmm. And then you end up with the Fire High Funhouse and the Fiend and all these other things. And I really feel like that guy was a guy who could have benefited for somebody going, you know what, bro, we're just going to let you do your thing. We're going to leave you alone.
And when you listen to people talk about Bray Wyatt, they talk about how creative he was and what kind of mind for the business and stuff that he had. So, like, I agree with Sean's take 100% and kind of piggybacking off his stuff on The Undertaker when he went from the dead man to the American badass. It was done in such a way, like it wasn't like one day he's the dead man, the next day he's coming out on a Hardy. It was a really nice, smooth transition, you know.
It was a gradual transition.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for, gradual. Thank you.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I'm going to hit you with this, and then we'll transition to something else real quick because we're getting in the tooth. The business died thanks to the Attitude Era. Ooh. Everything that we're talking about here is kind of making me think the business died when Vince decided you cannot be bigger than my company. Rockin' Austin, the curtain call. People leaving WCW. When Vince decided that you could not get bigger than the machine again.
So in other words, you couldn't get over more organically back then on your own without permission to do so.
Exactly.
Daniel Bryan.
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I thought that shit too.
Cesaro.
Bray Wyatt. L.A. Knight. Yeah.
Cesaro.
It happens every generation since you had the two juggernauts. Nobody is allowed to get bigger than the business. Within reason. So, I think that's what killed it, man. That's also another contributing factor.
I would also throw writers in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good, too.
Yeah.
During the golden era. Go ahead, Josh.
No, I was just going to say, maybe I'm playing devil's advocate here, but then I guess my question would be is, if the business was killed off by those things, what is the business now and why is it doing as well as it's doing when it's basically the same business? And yes, there's a good portion of storytelling that's kind of the same, but you have plenty of differences in between, too, that maybe wouldn't have flown or gotten over as well in the Attitude Era or the
Dennis, close your ears.
Before I close my ears, I just wanted to kind of answer Josh's question about why it's doing so well now. And the one word I come up with is mainstream. It's more mainstream now than it's ever been.
Very true.
So,
all right.
Okay.
Dennis, close your ears.
He's got deer muscle.
You do realize I have my headphones on. I'm going to hear it if I close my ears. So
the business has continued to grow because of who they started targeting. The business stopped caring about old fucks like us who remember the golden age of wrestling, who remembers what it was like, and started going to the kids who like these superhero bodies.
We were the kids
bodies
that they went to. Yeah,
that was always Vince's demographic, though.
That was always what they did, but now it's targeted so much more to the children. Granted, we had the Rock and Wrestling Rager cartoons as kids. That was good.
I love that cartoon.
But the merch.
What was the one that was on Saturday mornings with Captain Lou Albano and Hulk Hogan?
That was it. Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Yeah.
Wasn't that it? Yeah, because I remember watching it semi-religiously because it was almost always after, until they kept messing with the time on it. It was always on Channel 32, you know, in Chicagoland. Yeah. And, you know, for 11 o'clock every Saturday, you catch whatever.
Yeah, and then that's the thing, though. They started going directly to that market. The shows stopped getting the edge to them as much, and they started really going to the good versus bad for the kids. The good guys have to win. You got your Super Cenas, the colorful shirts, the toy lines. God, Jesus, all the fucking toys that are coming out. Video games.
The movies.
The movies, like that's where they shifted focus, and that's how it's been able to stay.
He's just diving into an ice cream sack.
You're lucky he ain't break out the pan of mac and cheese, man. He's done.
Oh, I already brought that up.
Yo, fuck you, Sean. You're living out there in a fucking storage container, bro. You don't got these out there.
Buddy, this is a heated 2-car garage. This is where I do my thinking and my training, so fuck you.
At least he's got his Kickstarter. Hey.
When the people guys who own the home you broke into,
listen, dude. You're in Philly. You don't understand. A garage is a place where you put your car to protect it from the cold and rain.
You know what? Can I say this though? We have been Airbnb hunting for Philly due to the fucking WrestleMania. And Jesus Christ, is there no standalone fucking homes in Philadelphia?
No, man.
Well, no, it's like, no,
dude.
Maybe in Rocky,
they live on. They live on top of each other.
Yeah. This lady's like, oh, literally. We have a nice little Airbnb area, but my mother lives on the third floor. She's not going to be a bother, though. What the fuck? It's the last thing I want is Joey K's foul mouth, Isaac smoking up a fucking whole house, and to have some old lady coming down from the third fucking floor. Hey, can I get a hit?
Joey's grandma.
Yeah. You better watch out. Isaac will do anything.
I already said you guys can crash here.
Look, I am more than willing to crash at your place. I would love to crash at your place. But, you know, that's the other guys on the other show over there who's Isaac has more than once threatened to physically get intimate with DDJ.
Yeah.
He did it again earlier today too, by the way, Javon.
I don't want to see any fucking love scenes on my couch show from you bitches.
I need a door. I need a door.
It'd be weird being in your apartment and hearing DDJ yelling, pineapple, pineapple.
We'd just have to get another bacon scented candle for Joey K's house there.
Oh. You fucking animal. Jesus Christ. Oh, dude, you Jesus and I are two fucking farm animals just roaming my sofa.
Where they meat.
I never seen a goat fuck a bull before, but it could be cool.
It's for science.
For science. Oh shit. Josh, God. I'm sorry about that.
Please tell me that you're not reconsidering after all of this that we're still alive.
Not remotely. If anything, you guys are just ingratiating yourselves more.
I was going to say, no, Josh watches the show, bro. Like, I get a report every week.
Nuts at me or something. So
we stop seeming like normal people when you bring out farm animals, so you know it's all right. Josh, I wanted to... I do want to give you some time, though, to kind of talk about the Bar and Grill, the lovely place that's going to be our live quarters for the Survivor Series pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Kind of give us a rundown of the Bar and Grill, Copeland's. How long have you been there?
Yeah, so I've been there since, I got there in October. There was previous management and different things. And then in January was when I made the official purchase and all of that. I've got a partner that I work with, and he's great. He had basically turned to me. We were aligned in a different capacity, you know, professionally for a few years previously. And he said, hey, because I've always wanted to own a bar. You're empty nesters because our daughter was off overseas in college and all that stuff at the time. You know, if you guys want to do it, what do you think? Because I'm moving to Nashville and I got to go. Now, he had just renovated it like 18 months before, 6 months of which was COVID. Yeah. So it was like, well, that's awfully fresh, and that's a really good price for what you're putting out there. So I said, okay, give us a couple of days to think about it. Called him back on that Sunday. Said, screw it, let's dance. And here we are. So my wife and I, we've tried really hard. Now, my team in general, we tried really hard to take the whole place and say, okay, we've got this blank canvas to kind of play with and do what we want to do with it, whether it's live music or it's wrestling or it's UFC or it's at one point, we're going to have male strippers, like, whatever. It doesn't really seem to one way or the other. You play to the target demographic.
Watch a ski string.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about bouncing that night, too. That's going to be awesome.
Are you bouncing on November 30th? I love you. I love you. I can't get anyone else to commit to it. Except for the 17-year-old, like, you know, servers or something.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what Sean will do for some change.
But, you know, so in
$20 is $20, bro.
Fair enough. Live music, mixed cocktails, all that kind of thing. That's really been a passion of mine up until now, where I've been able to professionally do something with it, aside from the restaurant side as well, and kind of stretch that culinary side. So I kind of looked at it and said, hey, you know, I really would love to bring wrestling in. I don't really know how we're going to do this. It was something in the back of my head. And then when I met Sean, he was telling me what you guys did, and I hadn't seen it yet or anything. And I said, you know what, actually, there's something there. And I think because of where we're geographically located, there's so many more fans out that way, or it's more customary to be a fan out in that area. But I don't know that there's necessarily, you know, there's all but a handful of places that you can say, yes, they're definitive wrestling people, and this is a place place to go or celebrate it or watch it or tear it apart or do whatever you're going to do with it. So bringing the podcast in kind of clicked in my head, like, oh, you know, actually that makes a lot of sense. Plus, we're sitting on, you know, we got room for over 200 in there. So it's like, okay, what do we do with this extra space? So when everybody else is watching the band in the back, so to speak, what are we doing with that front space? And are we taking full advantage of all these TVs that we have and of all this space that we have? And can we put multiple groups that probably will interact pretty well together in the same space? You know, like I was talking about earlier, you know, back in the 1980s, that, or even like mid to late 80s and even going into the 90s, it was commonplace that, hey, I'm going to watch that pay-per-view over at the local, you know, the local haunt around the corner, you know, whether they were broadcasting legally or not. That was just the nature of the beast back then. And I noticed that that kind of fell out of favor. So a lot of people had actually initially been asking me for UFC, and I kind of fought it because I thought, okay, well, you know, am I going to be just in a sea of affliction t-shirts and bullshit? Is this for me? How much money do I need for one Saturday night? You know,
just going to say, if they're wearing a tap out shirt, it's probably not going to be consensual.
No.
Yep.
But there came that point where I kind of said, okay, I want to do something, but I don't know where to start. So like I say, when Sean and I got talking, I thought, you know what? That's a hell of an idea. And as I've been listening to the show more over the last, God, what has it been, Sean, about 8 weeks?
September, I think, or you started. More than we've been, 8 weeks.
Something like that, yeah. So, I mean, I've been listening since then. I've been kind of getting caught up on it and all that thing. And, you know, my passion for wrestling hasn't waned at all. And hearing other people around me saying that are regulars and things like that, saying, no, I'm actually pretty cool with that. I'd love to go ahead and see something like that. So, okay, look, let's see where it goes. And if it's something that we can build a repeat business around and a repeat fan base and doing giveaways or, you know, maybe at some point we throw charities or something in there, whatever. Like I said, it's kind of a blank canvas. So you have this opportunity to and a platform to really do something with it. Which to me is kind of cool just because, let's face it, most of these wrestling companies, good luck getting in with them in any capacity that aren't just smaller, you know, independent promotions and things of that nature. Right. So just making that phone call alone to say, hey, I'm going to call WWE. I have a sound shot. I say, oh, I'm calling WWE to go ahead and line up the promotions. Oh, shit, I talked to somebody from TKO. Oh, wait a minute, it wasn't somebody from TKO. Somebody from Johan Promotions. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So just that process alone was kind of neat, you know? But
didn't
I think
they offer you a job. One of those guys offered you a job, right?
He did actually. Once he heard how much marketing background I had, and because he's like, well, we're working with TKO, and they don't really know a lot about WWE, and I just started busting knowledge on the guy, and he's hitting me with Rey Mysterio and Hulk Hogan, and I'm like, yeah, this conversation is about over. you know, especially because you just hit two of the people that I hate that I pretty much dislike the least or the most. Yeah, I just, like I said, it all kind of came together. And now I'm looking at it going, okay, so when we take off on the 25th, having the pay-per-view being, it's kind of stars are aligned thing, right? Like everybody's going to be joining us here largely. Joe, I think you said you may or may not be there. Is it my understanding?
I'll be there digitally.
Okay. Okay. So, but having the ability to put everybody on the same page and put everybody together as best as possible really is, you know, that's important.
Yeah.
And putting that best foot forward. And the other thing is too, you guys are, as much as you're going to hate this descriptor, an independent wrestling promotion of your own, you know what I mean? Or independent wrestling podcast. So the more eyes that I can help put on that and the more opinions we're getting in there, whether they're questions of the week or whether it's whatever, the more we can drum that up, the stronger it becomes. So, and that's pretty much where I'm coming from.
Joey, you remember back in the day when The Rock was starting to come back against Cena and they had that t-shirt that says, I bring it via satellite? I'm going to get you that shirt, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't think it fits anymore, but I have the boots to ask this shirt somewhere. I want to use that for employee motivation days.
It's a good shirt.
There you go.
Boots to asses.
And trust us, some of the employees need to be motivated.
I'm just putting it out there.
They got to bounce it. They got to bounce. Bouncer there, dude, he's an asshole.
Yeah, is his name Sean? I know the guy.
Yeah, he lives in a fucking ice fishing shack.
Depends on who you're talking
with his World Series battery.
Only because Gabby didn't want to get
called. That's awesome. You watch Grumpy Old Man. That's sweet. Nice joke, Buckstick.
Oh, bitch, I watch Letterkenny. The whole season where they just were in the fucking out on the ice.
Allegedly. Oh, Jesus. All right. Gentlemen, we've gotten pretty much almost an hour here. Let's do a real fast, since this is going to be the episode before
real the quick.
Live episode. Real quick, rapid fire. What match are you looking forward to at Survivor Series when we're all together having a great time at Copeland's Bar and Grill?
I personally am really, really excited about the War Games match just because of the lineage of it. I hope it's as good as I want it to be. I don't see myself being disappointed about it. When they ran those matches in NXT under Triple H, they were always really entertaining, really good, nice little storyline. I like the mix of the people that are going to be in the match. I think it's going to be really good. So I'm really, really excited about the War Games match. The rest of the card,
and last year's War Games match was really good too.
It was.
So, Jovan, what about you?
It's going to be hard to say. I do want to lead War Games, but to me, I'm a Gunther Mark, dude. Gunther right now, to me, is the best champion they have running in that business. I'm here for Gunther.
I'm going to take your little thing, take one step further and say I think he's the best champion in all of wrestling right now.
Yeah.
Even better than Roman. I'll put it out there.
Yeah. I think if anybody's going to dethrone Reigns, it's him.
It needs to be him.
That would be great.
Yeah. I need him not to lose the IC title.
I'd love to see it.
I want him to kind of do what Samoa Joe did. Put the title down and be like, look, I've got bigger plans, and take an undefeated streak to Roman.
See, I would love to see more of a Hogan Ultimate Warrior thing. I want to see them both throw down for it and see who actually is better, who can get it done, who does have the better faction.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Hell, that could lead to an Imperium versus Bloodline War Games. Mm-hmm.
For me, it's
a bunch of white guys against a bunch of indigenous people. Good call, brother. God.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Not right, bud.
Nah. For me,
I'm the Viking. Fuck you.
For me, it's the War Games match, especially if they because right now it's 4-4. The rumors that we might be seeing a couple more additions to, each side and that. So, but this is how it plays out, where we go from there and stuff. Yeah, it's the War Games and that. So I'm with Sean. I'm going to go with the men's War Games, Mitch.
I mean, I hate to shit in everybody's bed sheets, but they've only announced.
No, you don't.
They've only announced 3 fucking matches so far.
Right.
It's not like it's like, oh, what's match is going to be the best of the 3? Like,
there's going to be a women's War Games match coming up with Damage Control and the other ladies.
Whoopie fucking do.
Dude, what do you got against hot chicks beating the shit out of each other? I don't understand. You should come bounce with me.
He wants to see big meaty men slapping meat.
Yeah, I signed up
meat
for
slapping
big
meat.
Yeah, just meat slapping meat. That's what I'm here for.
I bet you did, Philly.
He's like Arby's. He's got the meat.
Or he gets the meat. I don't know which is.
No, I have a giver of the meat.
Do you have a beef scented candle, or is it just the bacon?
It's bacon, baby. I got a fucking meat log for you. You let me know what fucking storage pod rental place you're staying
at. Calm down, Stumpy. Don't go there.
I'll swing on over.
Don't go there.
Give me your little access code.
Get your little fucking step ladder, and then we can talk man to man, eye to eye. But until then, you chill the fuck out.
I got you, Joey. I know the code to his garage.
Don't you get all sassy.
I love you, brother.
Chicago beef over there. You better calm
the fuck
down.
You do not want to get your ass beat by an old man. It's going to make you look silly. I'm just saying. That old dude just beat the fuck out of that guy. Did you see that shit?
Yeah.
That'd be ugly, brother.
Who are you talking to? The moose that's standing outside that storage pod, bro? What the fuck? What are you looking at?
There ain't no
there.
Ain't no moose. Ain't no moose here, man. The only moose is the Jovan's guy up there who can barely wrestle and looks really good in pink.
God.
You know, I'll be honest with you guys. It's not going to be a popular opinion, but I'm not the biggest fan of the women's divisions in most of the different wrestling categories and things like that. There's the occasional amazing match, and then there's so much crap in between where it's almost like its own mid-card. Survivor Series in general seems to be one of the times that the women's division really steps it up where you go, shit, you guys are that good. You know what I mean? And like I was sitting here just kind of, you know, in preparation or whatever for tonight and just thinking, I didn't know where we were going to go with like topics on Survivor Series. So I'm like, all right, I'll go ahead and watch some old ones. You know, I watched 2009, which I think is kind of criminally underrated. Not my favorite time in wrestling, but a great pay-per-view for Survivor Series nonetheless. But again, every single time I would watch one of those and even go back to what Sean was saying about the NXT ones, the women stole the show more times than I can count out of there. And there's something really, really impressive about that style of wrestling from the stories they typically tell to how intense they get on that one night. At least for me, that's my take on it.
Yeah. I think we said it last year, guys, that the women had the better war games. It's kind of been like a theme that they go all out.
They really stepped it up. Like I remember, I think it was either the first or second women's war games match they did in NXT, and it was the one where Dakota Kai turned heel and destroyed Tegan Knox's knee. And then it was basically 2-on-4. I think it was Rhea Ripley and Candice LeRae versus whoever else was that. I was like, when I saw it, I was like, man, I don't know what to think. But, man, I'll tell you what, that was one of the damnedest things I ever saw, and I was in awe of that match at the end. Like,
in those matches on those pay-per-views, they give those girls time.
Yeah.
Yep.
They get the time allotted to allow them to tell a story, which doesn't happen on live TV on Mondays and Fridays and Wednesdays or whatever. And let's take out the, you know, we're not even talking about Impact and the women's division there. I mean, those women bring it every, I mean, they those women get an opportunity to tell a story.
Yep.
They really do, unlike any other company. Maybe Ring of Honor, you know, but even Ring of Honor's women's division is a little.
The previous Women of Honor with Roxy was the top of Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I look at someone like an Io Sky that normally wouldn't turn a head necessarily too much, or you just kind of go, oh, yeah, she's reasonably talented, et cetera, et cetera. And again, on those sorts of really extreme shows and where she's able to showcase what she brought to bring her to WWE in the first place. That is what stands out to me. Like, wow. Like, and it's not just the moments where the crowd's chanting, holy shit, as much as where it's an ultimate form show of respect, where it takes you 30 seconds to suddenly chant, holy shit, because you can't believe what you actually just saw.
Exactly. Yeah. Her jumping like off that, of the damn cell.
I mean, like, she looks borderline suicidal every time there's a pay-per-view.
She's kind of hot.
Yeah, with that too. It doesn't hurt.
I like she's kind of hot. With Kyrie Sane being back, and dude, that woman has the best top rope elbow drop of anybody in the business.
Oh my god, it's beautiful.
It looks so amazing, but it just dude, I've been watching elbows get dropped from the top rope since 1978, and fuck. None of them look like that.
Fetish is what I'm hearing.
A little bit.
Yeah. So the elbow's like turning on.
Porn fetish to me, bro.
And then back to slamming Granny in the fanny again. Man, right? Keep getting back to that damn movie.
You get that TV, DVD, VCR combo deal?
No, man. I still watch VCR. I still watch tapes.
He's still got a tape match. What are you talking about?
Dude, you don't even know what the fuck a Betamax is. You're just
using words. I'm talking, man. I know what a Betamax is. I had one when I was young.
Look here.
You know, Sean still know how much Harry Bush porn is in Sean's fucking she shed right now?
Look, it's not even Harry Bush
Betamax, bro.
It's straight industrial.
It's not even that. Yeah, dude. It's the Sears catalog.
I didn't even know it came shaved until like 91, 92.
Oh, yeah, most of the ladies didn't either. You know, it was pretty hairy in the 80s too, buddy.
I was in the bush, man. The Putang Delta, baby.
Oh man, the bush. Shout out to the bush. It's a very underrated thing out there nowadays.
Particularly on Laserdisc.
Super underrated. Laserdisc.
Dude, let's be honest. If people are still buying porn to sneak into their house, there's a problem. When you have it on your phone, fuck.
Your phone's got so many fucking viruses on it.
DDJ.
When you had to burn you. I got to reboot this thing again, bro.
So fuck. Remember when you couldn't even, you had to burn your computer?
John, I explicitly asked you never to bring that up in public or in any kind of public forum again. So thank you for,
dude. Just because you had to hide hide your subscription to BustyAsians.com from everybody. You fuck.
Well, at least I appreciate that you're open about your love for slamming grannies in the fanny. So.
Crystal, I'll back be in the basement.
Or back in the day when you used to have to watch the cable
wrestling,
get the Playboy Channel to come in and it'd be nothing.
Oh, man. You're banging the shit out of that black box. Come on, you motherfucker.
Yep. With the volume down real low. You gotta have the volume down low so dad didn't.
And like,
I think
and
I
like,
saw what are you watching TNA? Like,
yeah, on the last button. You just be like, I gotta jump this shit back real quick, bro.
Young Lady Shirley's lover again. Jesus Christ.
Dude, I remember fucking almost getting caught. And my last button was South Park, and I got in trouble for that bullshit.
I told you about my VHS Terminator tape, right?
No.
Did I not tell this story anymore? Okay. So you know the scene in Terminator where Linda Blair gets down with that dude, or Linda, whatever, Hamilton. Her name is DDJ on there. You're correct. Thank you. They get out. That used to be my go-to as a teenager. And one day that fucking thing snapped and I didn't know why. And I was like, what the fuck, man? So years later, I'm talking like 30, 31, right? I'm sitting with my cousin, and my cousin is gay, and me and him are talking, and we for whatever reason Terminator got broke up, and I was telling him, I remember telling him, I was like, man, I used to have that movie. I remember I had to go buy I bought it on DVD when it came out, and I was telling him about how the tape broke, and he was like, yeah, bro. He goes, every time I was at your house, I used that movie. I was like, you motherfucker. It was getting tag teamed. I was hitting it. My gay cousin was hitting it.
That's the best story I've ever
heard. That damn film.
No, dude, it's fucking hilarious. I just spent the rest of the day, every time we'd be by his mom, I'd be like, I'll be back.
Go on. There's our episode title for this episode. I'll be back.
Oh, I prefer the title of the episode to be DDJ doesn't want to know when you're coming.
Oh,
la 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 la. I don't know. It's you.
Oh boy.
You fucking pleasure machine.
Can we go to final thoughts, please?
Gentlemen, we're going to hit a real quick offshoot. Final thoughts. Keep it short and sweet so we can end this one. Who wants to start?
Go ahead, man.
Go ahead, Dennis. We know you want to.
Real quick two-parter on here. First off,
he's always at the first of the table, and he's always got to have two parts. Go. Bro.
First time, long time. Go ahead.
Going now to Dennis in Chicago. Dennis.
First time takes a long time.
But no, I want to give a shout-out to Sean, actually, for my first part, because he's kind of the one that got the ball rolling with all of this as we're getting closer in that. So I just want to give a shout-out to Sean for kind of making this happen and stuff. So – but then also, too, work's been really stressful lately for me and stuff, and I just want to take a moment to say, if you ever feel like that you're not good enough for, you know, at your job or – this, you know, podcasting or whatever, in my mind, you are, because we all just need a little reassurance sometimes that what we're doing is good enough. So just like you said, if any of you guys ever feel like you're not good enough, call me up, hit me up, and I'll tell you that you are.
Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. Once again.
Beautiful.
Always a reassuring word, dude. I'm so proud of you. You're growing up like a big boy.
Do you ever
keep it up? Like proud of you. Not a joke. I'm very proud of you.
Well, I'll go next. First of all, here's a two-parter for you. I'm going to shout out myself for carrying you three fucks to even get us anywhere. I mean, I got Sean kicked out of his house, Javon kicked out of his state. And Dennis fucking his divorce fast track. So shout out to me.
The Death Reaper.
Don't tear your shoulder from patting yourself on the back too much.
No, I had to fucking Barry Horowitz. So you're welcome.
Yeah,
that's one. Thanks, number buddy. Two, Josh, you're welcome for getting me.
I feel blessed.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ricky Henderson.
Speaking of Ricky Henderson, you see the A's are going to Vegas?
Yeah. Man.
No one gives a fuck. It's the A's.
Except for Jesus Isaac. Christ. Isaac's broken. His heart is broken.
I
take
know.
Him out of my division.
Well, you're just going to have to fucking tug one out for him when you see him there. Yeah, shout out to you, Josh, for getting me the fucking marquee player here.
And oh, also, my God.
Shout out to the Eagles on a bye week. Fuck the Cowboys. Everybody's talking shit. Oh, the Eagles are going to lose. They're going to lose against the Chiefs. They're going to lose against the Bills. Go fuck yourselves. You know what? Here's why. Dallas fans. You fucking scumbag degenerates. Y'all motherfuckers haven't even beat a single team with a record over 500 this year, and you're walking around like your shit don't stink. Kiss my fucking ball bag, you worthless sacks of shit.
It's a game of inches, something that you know a lot about, my friend. Inches. That's how we lost to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Bro, but my inches go into actual females and not Japanese male pro wrestler.
Now you know how to fucking work the buttons. Take her off the screen.
But you know what, Javon? He's learning. I'm happy about that. It's like when they taught gorillas how to do sign language and shit. Look at him go.
God, I hate it here.
Yeah, buddy.
The thoughts of Joey K and only Joey K, except for the Dallas shit, are his own.
And last but not least, fuck the NBA with this in-season tournament painting the fucking courts so ridiculous.
Oh, I hate that.
I have a fucking headache from watching the Sixers game. And not even because they played like dog shit, but just because I can't fucking watch a giant red court. God damn, I thought the fucking Brooklyn court that's gray and monotone, I thought my fucking TV died. I was like, well, I was like, I'm still paying this fucking thing off, bro. And it's like not working. No, watching the goddamn Nets fucking be worthless. Fuck. Can we just go back to a regular old fucking NBA hardwood classic floor? For crying out loud. So yeah. Fuck the NBA. Fuck the Cowboys. Good on you all for me. And go Birds. Fuck you very much.
The important thing is he's humble about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You would never tell that he was like who he is.
It's pretty hard to be cocky when you're drinking out of a mason jar every week, but somehow he pulls it off.
It's my own urine. It's sterile. It's good. That shit's like clear, dude.
Fucking
hydrated as fuck, dog.
That's the most Logan Paul thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Shout out fucking Logan Paul for not letting Rey Mysterio die. Good on you.
Yeah. Do you guys see where he retired from boxing? He's putting all of his interest in the WWE now.
Also being humble to say, Yeah, that really wasn't all on Ray. I kind of fucked up because I was too far back. So, yeah, that's on me, too. Yeah. I was like, fucking good on him. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, dude, the kids got respect for the business. I appreciate that. I still think he's a dude.
Sean, respect for the business. Give your shot.
First off, I want to say, Josh, I'm glad you got to make it here and everything worked out.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure. And I knew you would kill it, so I wasn't worried at all. Monday was my mom's birthday. And tomorrow will be the anniversary. Tomorrow will be the anniversary of the day I lost her. And that's always a tough day for me. But I actually got a phone call from a friend tonight who I had made plans to grab a beer and dinner with tomorrow night. And he was like, hey, plans have changed. I thought he was going to cancel on me. And he said, we're going to the Bulls game. So
nice.
Going to the Bulls game tomorrow night, going to be at the United Center, which is one of my second favorite places to be to watch a pro sport. And I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about the opportunities that we're getting and being a part of this with Josh. And I want to thank you again for, you know, putting your trust in us and giving us an opportunity to do this. I love this shit, dude. I do. And I love these guys. We all talk shit, but the truth is there's no other group of people I'd rather be working with. Everybody on the screen are stand-up individuals, and the world's better having them in there, regardless of the words of Joey K every fucking week. He's a pretty good dude. We won't let – you didn't hear that, though. He's still an asshole. But
he's our asshole,
again, thank you. I appreciate you being here and killing it. I knew you would.
I appreciate you guys being so much and bringing me on, man. It's been cool as hell to have this, again, this platform to be able to sit with you guys and talk and stuff. And like I say, I've spent the last few weeks kind of minorly obsessed with the show and keeping up with it and everything else. And, you know, who's in the mood this week or what topic fired off?
Usually Joe K.
What is hell for me? Because I got an hour commute back home and I'm listening to it going, God damn, guys. You know? I'm like, oh, 17 F-bombs in a row. I'm not really sure. I love that you guys gave me this opportunity. You know, my wife was smiling ear to ear, telling me how excited she is for us and the fact that I now have this outlet, I guess, if you will, on the wrestling side of things. And I can't think of a better group of guys to do it with. Just the level of camaraderie and simultaneous smartassery.
I love that.
I'm very excited for the show up and coming, and I think we're going to see some good things out of it. And it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And I know my staff's going to be going out of their way to try to get us trashed. So we'll see how all that plays out, I guess.
Oh, man.
Do we need to send bottles to Joey just to be supportive?
He won't turn it down. He's a Philly guy.
Yeah, he won't turn it down.
I'm sorry, you didn't get my rider for everything?
No, I was waiting to give you a prop for finally making yourself a part of my life.
He needs a bowl of blue M&Ms.
Only blue M&Ms.
Only blue.
Oh, you're not a green M&M kind of guy?
No, you've waited years for this, man. Like, you gotta take care of me here.
You've waited.
That's beautiful, Joey. At least we're humble going into one of the biggest fucking things that we'll do on this show.
I'm so glad you didn't show your ass in front of the businessman. I appreciate it,
Wait, Survivor Series isn't over yet.
Well, we're done recording. I am going to pull my dick out and show you. Right here.
So, make sure to use the Zoom.
Game of inches.
Don't you log out just yet, bud.
Way to keep it kayfabe, baby. Way to keep it kayfabe.
One more thing before we go, guys. Starting actually today when this episode drops, go to ProWrestlingTees.com as part of their 10 Days of Black Friday sale and get yourself a Shooting Shit shirt at 20% off. So
fuck me. I ordered mine today. Nice.
Fuck yeah.
All right, everybody.
We pay full price for our own shit like a fucking
pay. We should get a fucking discount for buying our fucking design anyway. We need to make our own shirts. Fucking getting fucked at PWG.
Don't worry, when we get signed, EDJ is going to handle that for us. Nobody knows fucking wrestling shirts like that guy.
He just has them all.
And a crochet extra, in the back. Yeah.
Extra soft knit. Joey K only likes the extra soft tees.
It feels good on my nipples, man.
All right, my final thoughts. Jesus Christ.
We're still fucking going? God damn it.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I'm come on, man.
It's okay.
Let's fucking speak.
I want to thank all you guys for coming here tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening. As you can see, big things are coming for the show. Big things are coming for everyone that's listening to us, man. We're going to do a lot of fun shit out there at Copeland's. Thank you, Josh, for joining us. Having us jump into a topic that, geez, we could have answered so many different ways and probably kept going on with, you know, what's happened to the business. Hopefully we'll be able to have you on again and dive into some other stuff, man. Maybe get more into, you know, your fandom. That would be great. Degenerate picks. We're gonna wrap up with this, Dennis. When I get done, go ahead and push that button for my videos to end us.
Wait till he's done, though.
I want you guys to take Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Go with Houston over Arizona.
Bold.
San Fran over Tampa Bay. And the Eagles to win. Go ahead, Dennis.
Did you say what was that last part? Whoa.
Was that the last one?
Was that last one?
God damn it! I said roll the fucking. Give me the Eagles to win it. Go, Dennis. I think that went rather well.
Eagles to win, you fuck. You fuck. You'll sell out your own fucking shit.
Dude, I took the fucking Cowboys over the 49ers and fucking got destroyed, man.
What a fucking degenerate.
I know, man. You're still eating ramen over that shit. Sorry, bro.
Legends of the Ring Sting, man. This is a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us, three-fourths of the shooting shit team, and we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of almost 20 years. He's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town, of course. But shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia. We just showed you Sting. Superpowers Comics will put up their QR code so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comics from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
Attention, wrestling fans. And fans of Shootin' Shit Podcasts, you can now be one of the cool kids by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt. Buy it now and be there at ringside.
Save 20% off your official Shootin' Shit t-shirt as part of the 10 days of Black Friday sale going on at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shootin' Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.